Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. Final hour for us of the day and of the week. Thanks for being with us. Final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes, and we'll bounce around a little bit just because there's a lot going on this weekend outside of course, what will happen in Tampa on Sunday afternoon between the Falcons and the Bucks. We'll get back into that in about 20 minutes with our keys to the game. Might let you hear a little bit more from Kirk Cousins as well. But what's it going to take for the Falcons to go down and get another win on the road where they've been very good so far this season and get to 4-0 in the division? And then we'll wrap things up with an AMA, as we always do at 1:40. Any question, any topic, we'll get the phone lines open. You can call in and ask us anything that you'd like to.
Would 4-0 in the division, like, I thought they were the best team in the NFC South. I still feel like... like, even before injuries to New Orleans or injuries to Tampa, I felt like the Falcons should win the NFC South. 4-0 still feels like something that would have surprised me.
Yeah, because that would obviously mean you would know, given what the schedule is, that they would have beaten Tampa twice early. Yeah. And I think Tampa's the second-best team in the division, and I think they still are. 4-0 in the division, also, given, I mean, you're going to beat Carolina.
Right.
Knock on wood, whatever. But you're very likely going to beat Carolina the next time you play them. And then if you can beat New Orleans, and New Orleans is so down and out right now, like 6-0 in the division would have shocked me at
right.
the beginning.
Yeah,
of the
that's kind of where I'm headed.
Not
yeah.
winning the division or being the best, but like you can be the best and you slip up and lose one or two. I also didn't expect there to be a 6-0 type of gap between whoever was the best, the Falcons
right.
in this case, and whoever's the second best. But yeah, that's kind of what Sunday is, right?
I don't want to jump past it.
Right,
yeah.
I don't want to jump past it either. But if you beat the Bucks twice, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to beat those other two teams.
You said it, and I hadn't really thought about it. And it's like, right. Man, 4-0 in the division is like, that's a serious run.
It is.
But then there's also Seattle, so who knows?
Then there's that game, which, you know, you just played and didn't play well again. Maybe it came at the right time. Maybe, and Joe was saying this yesterday, and I don't think he was trying to make an excuse, but I think the logic tracks a little bit, which is you had just played back-to-back-to-back real, well, maybe
amped
not,
up, intense.
Maybe not the Panthers game, but,
no, but it was.
You had just played back-to-back
yeah.
really tight, and honestly, all of the games to start the season outside of the Panthers game were down to the wire, last-minute drive, had to come through and win, and you won three of them and lost two of them, and then you handled your business against Carolina.
Even the Panthers is one possession in the fourth quarter.
It was. It turned into a landslide late because of some plays
well,
that you
should
made.
Should have been if Clark Phillips.
It could have been 45-20 if Clark Phillips would have scored a touchdown. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. Yeah, and then maybe you were due for a little bit of, all right, it's not a division. I don't know. I'm so uncomfortable coming up with any excuses for why that game looked the way that it looked, other than you just played like crap. Like, just a lot of stuff didn't go right because of you. You were not attentive to detail. You made a lot of mistakes. I'm not going to say the atmosphere had anything to do with that, because I think that's nonsense. I think that lets them off the hook. I don't really like the idea of we're playing a non-divisional opponent, so we take a step back. I think that lets them off the hook. I think they just played like crap.
It feels like the sort of loss you kind of write off for a good, not great team in college, but not in the pros.
Yeah, I don't know. It just needs to, when we look back on it in a month, it needs to be an outlier. It needs
yeah.
to
oh,
be, a,
100%.
All right, that was just a bad day. It happens, and it won't happen again. And hopefully that's what they get to this Sunday. We'll get to our keys to that win coming up in 15 minutes from right now. Before we do that, let's bounce around with a bunch of other different stuff, as there's a lot of other things going on this weekend. Let's start with the biggest story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Bow!
Yeah, so that's Trey after the game the other night. Hawks get the win opening night against the Brooklyn Nets. A lot of positives coming out of that game for sure. They got the Charlotte Hornets tonight, who also, you know, similarly to Brooklyn, probably aren't going to be particularly good this year. You're catching Charlotte at the time of year, though, where they have not all of their guys, because even in the opening game, Brandon Miller got hurt. But LaMelo Ball's playing tonight. I don't know how long that's going to last for, because he's been hurt a lot of his career, but he played good in game one, and he's given the Hawks trouble, man. I mean, that's the thing about Charlotte. They have not been good for years, and yet and still, they find a way to come in and score a billion points on the Hawks. So, like, let's not let tonight be one of those nights. They've scored 130 points on the Hawks with bad rosters multiple times in the last couple of years. LaMelo had 34 on opening night. This is, it's a team that you're probably better than, but who knows? But it's early in the season and they're healthy. Get to 2-0 tonight.
Just a couple things jump out at me at this one, because the first, you think Dyson Daniels matches up with LaMelo, maybe a good, nice early season test for him.
Yeah, let him get out there on the perimeter and see what he's got.
That would make sense. And then Mark Williams, the big center, also out for Charlotte. And we're coming off a game where Okongwu went 11-12 with 28 points, and now an opportunity maybe to do another game of damage inside. I know they got Nick Richards and some other guys, but maybe a little bit of lean on the inside game, potentially, if it's there for you, along with Trey doing what Trey does, and hopefully some more growth from Reza Shea and Jalen Johnson. But it's just a weird – the Charlotte thing's weird, man.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to talk about
it is weird.
Atlanta United in a moment, but like, there's a weird thing with Atlanta United and Inter-Miami. For whatever reason, they perform well.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Charlotte can be the worst team in the league, and it's just a trouble spot. I don't know.
I think it has a lot to do with, and it happens especially when LaMelo plays. They can be good offensively. They've got guys that can play offense.
Especially when they have Brandon Miller. I know he's out.
But. And so much of the Hawks' issues over the last handful of years have been
defense,
inability
right.
to defend on the perimeter. So this will be a good opportunity to show if things are a little bit different, because that's one of the things that's supposed to be a little bit different is the perimeter defense. I think we all liked what we saw from Dyson Daniels in game one. We'll see that tonight because, you got the Thunder. Next time out.
And that one's on the road. Tonight's at home. So
Thunder are quite good.
You can get your environment and atmosphere going at home, and then you deal with that on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Then you have one of those little weird back-to-back home and away against the Wizards on the 28th and 30th of next week.
Yeah.
A little number one versus number two matchup. Reza Shea and Sar.
Did we look what Sar did in
the
his
French connection? Not
opening
good.
Game.
They're going to be so bad.
I heard Jordan Poole was doing some wonky stuff.
I'm sure he was. That'll be true every game. Every game that he plays, Jordan Poole will do weird stuff. Again, him, Cam Thomas, like other guys on like just guys that love to shoot that are on bad teams. Now, Jordan Poole has an even better job because he makes like $30 million a year. Just shooters on bad NBA teams. It's fun. Just a fun life to lead. You mentioned it, Abe. Atlanta United has a playoff game tonight right here on Sports Radio. Nope.
Star 94.
On Star 94, because the Hawks game is going to be on Sports Radio 92.9 the game. You're on the pregame, though. They're in Miami. They're playing messy. It's the best of three, so even if they lose tonight, they're guaranteed a home game next Saturday at Mercedes-Benz. So you, at the very least, are going to get one more chance, hopefully more than that, to see Atlanta United. What are you, as one who will be talking about this game for the pregame show in just a few hours, what are you expecting tonight?
I expect messy. and that's not a good thing.
Messi as in M-E-S-S-I or
yes,
Messi as
no,
in...
No, Lionel, like as in the GOAT. Yeah. And
maybe
it's just,
both?
It's difficult. Messi has 20 goals on the season. Luis Suarez also has 20, and that's it's a heavy number. There's no doubt about it. Here's the problem. Messi has 16 assists. Like it is very rare at any sport. It's not just soccer. It's very rare at any sport where you're almost as scared of the setup as you are the actual finish itself. And when you kind of look at Trey, sometimes a little bit like he could go to the goal, but he can also make it an easy pass.
Messi's Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, the assist totals are almost as... Because you can't just surround Messi and be like, we're not going to let you get a shot off. Because he's so happy to be like, fine, here's a layoff pass to a wide-open dude.
Who's also a world-class...
Well... And it's not just
potential
Suarez.
World
it's
Cup
not
winning.
Just, Jordi Alba. They got our old buddy Julian Gressel's out there hanging out. So
they have a lot of talent on that team.
But Atlanta United is the last team to go into Miami and win a game. Now, that was way back in May. They got a draw here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Messi was on the pitch for a good portion of that game. So Charlotte and Atlanta, weird matchup. And then Atlanta United and Miami. It's been weird, but man, if you can take the first one, if you could find a way.
Dude, if they win tonight.
The pressure is.
Yeah, that would be pretty remarkable, given the fact, and you mentioned this earlier, this is their third game in 6 days. I mean, they had to scrap and claw just to get in the playoffs in the first place. Meanwhile, Miami's been the best team in the league for a year and a half.
But they've also adopted this FEA. Mantra, I'll tell you off air.
I think I probably know what F stands for. Everyone?
M all.
All. Oh, I got it. Okay.
Blank M all.
Oh, who has adopted that?
Atlanta United. They they kind of stole it from Brady, but Valentino did it, used it in a post-match speech to this team after they beat Orlando City and qualified.
He cussed?
I bleeped it out for the radio purposes, but yes, like
that's great.
Like 10 times.
It wasn't great.
I had to sit there for a minute bleeping it all out.
I like a coach that'll cuss though in public, you know?
But that's kind of what it is. Like, no one thought you would get into the playoffs, right? But you did. No one thought you would go to Montreal on 2 days rest.
Nobody.
And win.
And you did.
But you did. No one expects you to go down to Miami and get any sort of result.
Yeah.
And so FEA, and we'll find out.
And even if you don't, it doesn't matter if you lose 10-0 or 1-0.
Rebound at home as best you can
it's
next week.
It's not an aggregate, as some postseason or tournament situations tend to be in soccer. This one isn't. So all you got to do is come back and win at home, and then you'd get a game three.
I will say this. I'm not as confident tonight as I was Tuesday going into Montreal. Like, I told Dukes and Bell, like, they're going to win this game. Like, they're not getting bounced tonight. They're going to win this game. They're not getting bounced tonight.
Confidently. 100%.
But like, that's just by the format. It's going to be tough.
If it's not a great performance tonight, that wouldn't surprise me. I think given what they're up against and how tired they're going
to
be.
Tough thing to watch is you might just hit a wall at 65 minutes because of the match compression, and that's unfortunate.
I might be asking the right guys, or maybe the wrong guys, I don't know, depending on what you want the answer to be. How much of the World Series, which also starts tonight, between the Dodgers and the
You're
Yankees,
asking the wrong guys.
No, I'm asking the right guys, because you guys watch. How much of the World Series will you watch? All of it? Like every pitch of every game?
I'll watch all of tonight.
Okay.
I'll watch.
As much as you can, because you might have stuff going on.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to be at a softball tournament, so the only thing I'm going to have is my phone. Mm-hmm. So during LSU A&M, I will not watch any baseball, but outside of that, I'll have it on in my pocket, and the rest of it I'll watch.
Yeah, okay. Obviously I'm doing things. I got the United tonight, and then I've got the cruise next week. It'll be tough to watch, but like if I were home, it would be on one of the TVs, even with college football tomorrow.
Yeah.
The world, and it would be on TV4, but, but it would definitely
get the volume.
It wouldn't have volume. That's right. It would definitely have been on, though. It's the World Series, man.
I know it is, but I don't know, man. I don't know what it is. And also, those two teams don't help either. Like, I don't.
It's not for everyone.
I don't want those teams to watch. But I
got the croquet and the roller derby questions. You think I'm not going to watch baseball's championship?
Fair enough.
Like,
fair enough.
It is what it is.
But tonight you got Hawks and Atlanta United. Plus,
well,
also,
why I have four TVs.
You got Boise State.
Yeah.
And UNLV, which
that's
is going to be a fun game. But you have four TVs.
Yeah.
I only have two, and I don't really.
You better pull
been,
up that YouTube TV multi-view.
I haven't been bringing the second one out, really. Like, I haven't gone double screen. We just used the second one, put it on the porch.
Couldn't be me.
Watch it. Yeah, I don't know.
Couldn't be me.
I just, I don't know. I guess, do I care less? I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird place to be. I still care, obviously, but I do care less. I care less about the World Series.
I'm not trying to offend you, but yes, I do think you care less.
I care less about the World Series than I used to. I will.
Yeah.
I will say. Now, if the Braves were in it, obviously it would be different.
Of course.
But yeah, I don't know. I'll watch some. Like if there's a game like next Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll probably watch some of that. Probably not a lot over the weekend. All right. One thing we'll all be watching is the Falcons and the Bucks Sunday afternoon. We'll tell you what it's going to take for the Falcons coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Happy Hour Friday. Shout out to Larry Rogers for this original. Now, we played it. And we had one person say, hey, you guys played it week one and they lost. No, we didn't. We didn't play it week one. We played it the Monday they played the Eagles.
Yeah,
right?
Week two.
So they won. And then we forgot to play it again. But the song's not a curse, okay? So don't be blaming the song for anything bad that's happened this year, or good. Really has no bearing one way or the other.
Yeah, that's...
But if they win on Sunday, then maybe we can roll it back next Friday.
Sure. This isn't the reason they'll win on Sunday.
No.
We got keys to the game coming in a moment. We'll get into the reasons they'll win. This isn't it.
The things that it's going to take to win. I mean, it might. It's not gonna hurt. You're putting
it's
like
not going to help.
No.
Like,
it's a good song, though.
Yeah.
Shout out to Larry. 20 minutes away from an AMA. Any question, any topic, get the phone lines open at 404-726-0929. Final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. And yes, like Abe said, every Friday, or I guess if it's Thursday they're playing, or maybe it's Monday sometimes, whatever the final show we have at 1:20 before the Falcons play, we do keys to the game, and we'll do that now. You want to get us rolling here with some of your keys or one of your keys? We can bounce back and forth, however you want to do it.
Yeah, let's see which one I want to go with. I think how the Falcons counter what the Bucs are now going to have to do offensively is probably the most interesting thing to me. I know we talked about it earlier. I just don't think it's going to be McMillan or Sterling Shepard or Palmer. Is there a Palmer on their team?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't imagine Trey those Palmer. Are the guys that are going to beat you. I think it's going to be about defending Cade Otton and, more importantly, the run game. Mm-hmm. If you can stop the run game and force Baker, and I know we said this before, obvious passing situations, yes, you got an opportunity to maybe get a couple of sacks in there, but even if you don't, like, he's not going to beat you the way he has before without Evans, without Godwin. I just, if you can stop the run, I think your entire defense takes a jump to that next level because they just don't have as many ways to beat you.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I mean, that's sort of another way of saying kind of make them one-dimensional if you can. Their run game hasn't been great, although it was pretty good in the game where they played against the Falcons.
It wasn't. They had one big run, right, from a yardage perspective.
Yeah, they was from an overall yardage perspective, it looked good at the end of the game. It did come on a couple of chunks, and those chunks did come in the first half. So the Falcons did a pretty good job as the game went on of buttoning it up against that run. It sounds like Bucky Irving probably is going to play.
Practice today after missing the last two with a toe injury.
So they'll have him and Rashad White, which is a nice duo, but you should be able to slow them down. And if you can, without their top two wide receivers. Again, like, I feel like it's so programmed in us because they say so repeatedly, we can't worry about who's on the other side and we can't be overlooking blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's true. They don't have Chris Godwin or Mike Evans. They don't have them. Well, that's a huge, huge deal. And it's okay to say that. And you should be able to take advantage of, or that should be an advantage that you have because they don't have those players. Like, again, they are not going to say that, and they're going to repeatedly say, well, we can't think about it like that. I'm going to think about it like that. Those are their two best guys that they have.
How would you feel?
Maybe put Vita Vea in there as one of their three best guys.
Keep it on that side of the ball.
But the two best guys they have on offense aren't going to play. That should matter. You just have to make it matter.
How would you feel about the Atlanta Falcons offense if we did not have Drake London or Darnell Mooney?
Yeah, it would be a
and
really
those
big
guys,
deal.
No offense to Mooney or Drake, those guys are probably better than our two.
They definitely are.
Okay.
It's okay to say that,
right,
but they're definitely better.
Now, we have a better run
Chris
game.
Chris Godwin is one of the three best receivers in the league this year from a stats perspective,
and Mike
Evans going to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
It's okay to say those guys are better than our guys.
Everyone thinks I'm a hater already.
It's not a hater. Those guys are both awesome.
But imagine how concerned we would be about the Falcons offense.
Absolutely.
If we didn't have Mooney and London.
Yes.
That's what they're dealing with.
Yes.
Without run game.
Yes.
Without the run game, there's no reason that this should look anything close to competitive, in my opinion.
Now, I won't go that far. I still think that it will be just because they have talent at other places. And I think they've got guys on defense that are actually playing this game that didn't play last time that the two teams got together. They have guys on defense that can wreck you if you let them in Vita Vea and Lavonte David. I think the teams are evenly matched enough to where even without those two guys, it's still going to be competitive, but I think you should win.
Right.
Like if you can't beat Tampa without those two guys, that's tough, especially coming off of what happened last week,
right,
where you just didn't show up and really didn't play well at all for 60 minutes. Like, I don't have any doubt that you're going to show up to this game ready to go from minute one all the way to minute 60. Like, focus and effort and all of that stuff.
That's one of my keys, though.
Better not show up on Sunday.
That's one of my keys. And we sat here on Monday, Bunk, and said that I knew midway through the first quarter that I just didn't feel it was ever going to be there. Well, I think I'll know two or three drives into this game that if it feels different or not.
I feel like you'll know even sooner. Like,
right.
It was drive one offensively last Sunday, and they had three false starts at home. And given that I covered the Seahawks for as many years as I did and still follow a lot of the people that do on social media, like the reactions from them, they're like, isn't this game being played in Atlanta? Like, doesn't really sound loud there.
Right.
They wouldn't be loud while their offense had the ball. What's going on? Why do they have three false starts? It's because they were playing sloppy. It's because guys weren't ready to go when the game started, and they just were just making self-inflicted mistakes over and over again, and it carried throughout the game. There was a lot of penalties. There were penalties that kept the Seahawks offense on the field when you were getting off the field on third down. Just, and this is one of my keys, and you could say this every single week, but I'm saying it more emphatically because it was last week. Just don't do dumb stuff. Like, don't do stuff that's going to keep them in the game. Meanwhile, Tampa did do some of that stuff at the end of the game last time you played them, if
right.
you remember.
Right.
Tampa made some silly mistakes. They left a little extra time on the clock. They got off the field on offense and allowed the Falcons' offense to get back on the field. Now, credit to the Falcons' defense. But, like, if you're the smarter team on Sunday, there's a pretty good chance you're going to win this game, given what they're without and how similar these teams are. Because they're going to make some mistakes. If you just play smart, as you did not last Sunday, there's a pretty good chance you're going to win.
I want to follow up with you on that, because does that change how aggressive maybe Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris are? And I mean that because feels like the way that, as you mentioned, Tampa stays in this game is to slow it down a little bit, let their defense keep them in it. For an offense now, you don't want to be too aggressive. You don't want to take chances that are going to give them short fields that could cause turnovers. I do wonder if you're prepared to maybe somewhat play their style, but when I say that, I mean play the field position game. Don't give them short fields. Make them drive. Stuff like that, and then just offensive play callings. Don't get too ambitious, because you don't want the turnovers. The defense, a touchdown or turnover, feels like the way Tampa can stay in this game.
Yeah, because as ugly as things were, and just as frustrating as things were against Seattle last Sunday, it was really the turnovers that did you in. Like, even with all the dumb stuff you were doing and the flat play and all of that, it was the defensive touchdown that
until that fumble, you were in the game.
That essentially ended the game. And yeah. It was the other two turnovers that allowed them the extra possessions and took the possessions away from you to have a chance to win, even with how they played. So, yeah, definitely, you cannot turn the ball over against them. I'm interested because one of the things that we were praising Zach Robinson for prior to last week was it seemed like he was leaning into whatever was available. Like, whatever the defense was not giving you, but whatever you were able to take from the defense,
okay,
they were going with. You go back and look at the last time they played Tampa, obviously that was in the pass game. They had 500 yards passing.
Right.
You had like 30 receptions between Drake London, Darnell Mooney, and Kyle Pitts. Just the three of them. That's not to mention all of the other guys that caught passes, including Kadarius Hodge, who won the game for you in overtime with one of the plays of the year. I don't think that'll be there just because of some of the personnel they have back on defense, especially at the safety position.
Right, fair.
If it is, take it. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, you don't want to make the mistakes and you might dial it back and play a little bit more conservatively. But if you're able to eat like that in the pass game, like you did a couple of weeks ago against them, take it. I don't think it'll be like that, like you're saying. I would love to see a game where Bijan and Tyler Allgeier both get rolling, like you had against Carolina, like you had in the game, I think it was against New Orleans, where they kind of had similar carries. I think they want Tyler Allgeier to be more a part of the run game. When the offense gets off schedule, he seems like the guy that really get sacrificed because of that. Him and Kyle Pitts both.
Right.
Like, when the offense is in rhythm, Tyler Allgeier and Kyle Pitts are both heavily involved. When it isn't, both those guys seem to be penalized because of that, and then they start to go to Drake London and Bijan more, which is fine if it's working, but I just think if you're going to have a good rhythmic offensive performance, Pitts and Allgeier have to be a part of that. So I need to see Pitts and Allgeier be a part of the game on Sunday.
Yeah, and when I talked about like the game plan maybe adjusting to be a little bit more conservative, that's probably not from a play calling standpoint, more a situational standpoint. If it is 4th and 2 at the 47, maybe you punt as opposed to go for it. Stuff like that. I think in minimal situations, maybe it changes how you adjust this. The other thing I'm really interested in here, Bunk, is for you defensively, what are the adjustments in-game? We still don't know what they're going to look like offensively without Evans, without Godwin. I've suggested maybe it's Cade Otton. Maybe you have a plan coming in to where you maximize defense on Cade Otton. What happens if he's not the go-to guy and they start to work someone else? How do you adjust defensively, Jimmy Lake and the defense? How do you adjust defensively in-game? I'd like to see that flow as well.
Can you affect the quarterback? Can you just make him slightly uncomfortable? I realize it might be asking too much.
That's bunk. I mean,
boy, if they could.
Week 8?
Boy, if they could. That'd be a lot of fun.
Or 0 for 7.
Let me say this one selfishly because I think Saturday is going to go poorly and I'm trying to get out in front of it. Don't let the UW guys that Tampa have kill you. Cade Otton, you mentioned him.
Yeah.
Jalen McMillan.
Sure.
Vita Vea. Those are all guys that could wreck this game. Don't let the Washington guys do you in. I'm just trying to make myself feel
better. Make them as invisible as the UW offense on Saturday is what you're saying?
Yeah, make them as invisible as everyone's going to be on Saturday in Bloomington. God, I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I think Indiana's really going to blow us out tomorrow at noon. It's going to suck. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic to wrap things up here on a Happy Hour Friday? Phone lines are open at 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Hour Friday AMA to wrap things up. Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Phone lines are open. A couple people on hold, but there's plenty of space if you want to get in and ask a question. 404-726-0929. Your final opportunity of the week and final opportunity for a while to ask Abe an AMA question, as he will be on a cruise next week. Randy will be back on Monday. We'll start with Jamie, who's in Kennesaw. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Double A. I go to a concert last night, and I come back home, and my lovely wife of 20-plus years throws out all the damn food. I want to have something to eat. My question is, what is your criteria of throwing out food?
It's a great question, because a lot of times in a couple, there's different criteria. I, for one, have a little bit longer of a shelf life with stuff. Like, I think expiration dates are fine, and they're like a fine suggestion, but I don't think that has to be the day that stuff gets tossed out. Like, the other night we were having salads with dinner, and we had some dressing in the fridge that was, it expired a while back, and my wife was like, we shouldn't eat it. We might get sick. I was like, we're not going to get sick. It's just salad dressing. We're going to be fine. If she wouldn't eat it, I ate it, and then yesterday, it was a couple days later, and I was like, I miraculously survived the salad dressing plague at the house.
Steel gut.
Yeah, it was just fine. I have to visibly
see mold or discoloration. I'm sorry. Like, I have to visibly see it or smell it.
Now, that you are allowed to have that standard as a single man who lives alone. So you can do that. Now, we don't go that far. I'm not going to let stuff get moldy if I can help it, unless you forget it or whatever. Abe, that's a pepperoni stick. That thing's going to last the apocalypse.
But here's the thing.
That thing's never going to go bad.
I don't disagree with you. That's why I'm holding it. But it also says right here, Best Buy, what is that? July 28th, 2024.
Really?
Now, I'm still eating it. All of them have tasted great. I've only got like 4 or 5 left in the fridge.
I got one, too. I got my...
Is yours expired?
My original
beef stick. Well, again, it's not even expired. It just says Best Buy.
Mine expires on... October 20th, 2025. So I got a year. I got a year to consume this beef stick.
Yeah, like...
It's not going to take that long, but...
I have to visibly see that it doesn't... Sometimes you get a bad vibe from the food, too.
My wife will not eat anything if it's past the expiration date, no matter what it is. Even, and it'll be like, milk is not going to go bad on the expiration date. And she'll be like, does it smell funny? I'm like, no.
Smells like milk.
Smells fine.
Most of them aren't expiration dates. They're just recommended or sell-by dates.
Yeah, they're sell-by dates, which is a totally different thing.
Yeah.
But then she'll... I'm sure you have people in your life like this. But she's very good at, like, once she kind of has decided something might be, you know, like, oh, it might be bad, it might smell bad.
Can't take a risk.
Then she's like, oh, it smells terrible. It's like, wait a minute. It went from maybe it smells bad to it smells terrible very quickly. And also, you haven't even drank. Here's the test. Give it to Lily. See if she, I mean, she's the one that drinks all the milk anyway. If she drinks it, it's fine. She's not going to get sick.
That's a bad
milk.
I don't agree with this
test. You're not going to get sick.
Yeah, but if it goes wrong, now the consequences are with the kid versus, like, you can handle it. You go to the bathroom and do your thing.
It's not like it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks old. Like, if there's chunks in the milk, obviously you're not going to drink it. But, like, if it's a day past the expiration date and it smells fine, see, if she says anything, then I'll throw it away. If she drinks it, she's putting chocolate in anyway. Chocolate milk, chocolate kills all the bacteria. Everybody knows that. Devin's in Kansas City. Hey, Devin.
Yeah, I'm kind of with both of y'all. Like, if I see an expiration date, something in me won't, like, I have to, like, examine it. But also, like, if it doesn't have mold after a certain amount of time, I still have to question, do I want to eat this? Because why isn't it molded, or why isn't it, you know what I'm saying?
That's a great question. It's like, well, this should be moldy by now. Like, what preservatives are in this thing that I shouldn't be eating anyway?
Like, that Big Mac video or movie that was made messed me up, but I still eat it. But I'm still like, ugh. But anyway, went on a tangent, bro.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I get to ask a question that I know Randy has no clue about.
Okay.
I don't know, and I don't know if you are, but hey, I'm assume you know a little bit about a little bit of anime, right?
No.
That's a good assumption, though.
It's wrong, though.
Really?
I never got into anime.
Man, that's a totally safe assumption.
The most I would know from anime is from, like, listening to Oren and Hugh from back in the day have their conversation.
Okay.
I understand why people would think that, though.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. You get it, yeah.
Like, you know every sport on ESPN Ocho, but have no clue. That's crazy.
And every movie and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can still ask the question
ask
if you want.
Question in another way.
Okay.
So. Well, y'all know Dragon Ball Z. So to me, Goku is the strongest anime character ever created. Who is the strongest anime character? For some reason, this was in the guys' group chat, and we argued for a whole day about this. Who is the strongest anime or cartoon character ever made?
All right.
In y'all opinion.
Okay, great question, Devin. Now, I won't be able to answer the anime one. Oren is in the other room listening. You don't know? Okay. Oren's not on that one. Just strongest cartoon character? I mean,
I don't want to say something Bo's going to yell at me for, but, like, Superman originally was a comic, but then, like, a cartoon character.
Yeah, there's been cartoon,
like,
Superman. That's
powers,
fine.
And so, like,
He-Man also very strong and powerful cartoon character.
Mighty Mouse was a badass back
Mighty
in the
Mouse
day.
Mighty Mouse was. Pound for pound, it might
pound
be
pound
Mighty Mouse.
Pound for pound, it might be Mighty Mouse. He, the pound for pound strongest cartoon character of all time.
Do the Power Rangers fall under any kind of anime, or they didn't start as just a weird TV show?
No, I think they kind of spawned from Voltron. Remember Voltron?
Did they even start as cartoons, or did they start as live action?
Power Rangers wasn't a cartoon.
Right.
It wasn't a cartoon or anime first.
They made a cartoon after.
Oh, they did?
Eventually,
But Voltron was a cartoon, and that was like all the things combined to make the big robot guy, and then that's kind of what...
How powerful are Care Bears?
I don't know, man. It's a good question. Do you guys remember the show Captain Planet?
Yeah.
That was a nice try.
With your powers combined.
Yeah.
Earth, fire, wind, water.
Yeah. Got to recycle. It was a great effort. It was a great effort. We, unfortunately, Captain Planet didn't inspire our generation enough to save the planet, but it was a good try. Brandon is incoming. Hey, Brandon.
Fellas, happy Friday.
Thank you. You too.
A little bit about the expiration. So I'm in the beverage industry.
All right.
In the beverage industry, those are considered optimum dates. So like a Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those dates would be the day that it's going to be the best.
Okay.
So from there, it goes downhill.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one the day after, one the day before, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. So it's not that it's bad after that date. It's going downhill after that.
Yeah,
I feel like for Coke and Pepsi too, it just goes flat. It doesn't, like, it's not going to get so bad it makes you sick. It just turns flat and then you throw it out.
Right, right. So about to pull in here and grab me one. I won't say which one, but it's been a while. So Popeye's chicken sandwich or Chick-fil-A?
I never had the Popeye's one.
It's good. It's really good.
I do like Chick-fil-A.
I just like Popeye's chicken better. Like,
okay.
I think Popeye's chicken.
Popeye's does have the best chicken.
Tastes better.
Because they make a spicy version. Nobody else has spicy chicken.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A has some banging chicken sandwiches.
Now.
Like the pimento one right now.
Yeah.
Is that
phenomenal.
Good?
Oh, yeah.
Is that good? My neighbor is like a big Chick-fil-A, like big wig. And sometimes he'll just hand over like a gift card or something over the fence every once in a while, which is great. And we have one for that. I haven't done it yet, but I love pimento cheese. So I might
those
have to
are
try
good.
That one.
I'll tell you what, like the low key best item at Chick-fil-A is their breakfast burritos.
Interesting.
I know a lot of people are like, get the minis or get the chicken biscuit. The breakfast burrito, and they have a couple. You can get the spicy nuggets. You can get regular chicken. The breakfast burrito at Chick-fil-A is wildly underrated. It is so good.
It is very good.
They also have really good salads, which...
Truth.
Maybe some people get, maybe some people don't, but they're really good. It's like a pretty solid drive-through salad. I will say this. You're going to get a different customer service experience, depending on which one of those chicken sandwiches you're going for. That's up to you. It's up to you which customer experience you want. But I'll take the Popeyes chicken sandwich. All right, one more. We got one more. Let's do Jason, who's in Atlanta. Hello, Jason.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, as you know, Ohtani's home run ball went for like 4.2 million, which I think is like 100 billion yen or something like that. But anyway, what is your most expensive or coolest piece of memorabilia you own?
All right.
And if you could have any piece, money wasn't an option, you can pick it and it's on your shelf, what would you pick?
Great question, Jason. I don't have anything that's like monetarily worth all that much. It's probably just more sentimental to me. I was really into Nolan Ryan when I was younger, and he was kind of at the end of his career. I actually was at his final ever start. He got ran in the first inning, sadly. My dad got me a Nolan Ryan card for my birthday. It was like my 8th or 9th birthday, and it was like gold. So it was like a golden Nolan Ryan card. Pretty sick. I still have that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, most of mine, I agree with you, are sentimental. But now, my dad has a bunch of, like, actually, like, decently valuable autographs from baseball, old day stuff. Like, was part of the question, what would I have?
Yeah, what would you have if you got
there? There'd be, like, some old Babe Ruth stuff. I think Babe Ruth is still, like, the guy in terms of autographs, in my opinion.
I'd like to have something from either Tiger's 97 Masters win, whether it's, I don't know, the ball that he putted out with on 18, or
get the flag from the 18th green.
That'd be cool.
I'm not sure that's just up for grabs for you, but
or like that I don't know, or something from the 2000 U.S. Open when he won by 15 strokes, something from there. I don't know, something like that, some Tiger Woods, because that's like my all time favorite athlete probably. But
I don't have anything that valuable. I won a autographed Al Horford jersey from a Twitter trivia contest once.
Hang on to it.
I have it. It's hanging.
Someday that's going to be...
It's hanging in my place.
That's like a retirement fund, basically.
Well,
he hasn't even retired yet. But once he does, that's going to... I have so many bad ones. I have a...
What do I have? I got one of my...
I mean, I have an autographed Chipper Jones 99 MVP picture.
This is Tyler Matzek. I got a Tyler Matzek autographed baseball on my bag.
You think that's valuable?
Right,
I got in the back office Darius Vines, so...
He's walking around with a Tyler Matzek ball. Next person that sees me in public asks for it. I'll give it to you. Let's get the takeaways of the day. Takeaways of the day every day to wrap up the show. We'll start with me. Abe, not yet, but almost a Diamond member on the cruise line. And with any luck, he'll be a Diamond member soon.
Super solid. Free booze and everything. Abe can also think of a few instances where it would be okay to bite someone. Andy's never been on a cruise before, but he has been on a boat.
Yeah. Ferry boat.
Don't backdoor cover your wife. Yeah.
Don't do that.
And Blue Chew apparently has a lot of alternate slogans. Surprised it didn't grow might be one of them.
Well, if you're surprised it didn't grow, you should head to BlueChew.com and use promo code Andy. We'll see what Dukes and Bell have for you next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.